Good morning. I am indeed humbled again to have an opportunity to stand before you and provide a lesson. I appreciate the opportunity. Although when Dale asked me a few weeks ago, I couldn't help but think, he's a glutton for punishment. But seriously, I'm very honored by the opportunity and to be asked to stand before you and give a lesson in Doug's absence. I was going to give a lesson today on something I see a lot of today, unfortunately. In my work, in the younger generation that I see it, I come across, it's even something that I struggle with occasionally. And I thought it would be a good lesson to bring this morning to not only maybe help myself, but to maybe bring some awareness to something that maybe you acknowledge in your life as well. And that's the attitude of being ungrateful or having ingratitude. Ingratitude is the state of being ungrateful, forgetfulness of or poor return for kindness that you've received. This describes someone who is unthankful for what he has and what he's been given. Just some examples. You know, your wife takes the time and cooks a meal and prepares a meal for the family. And you sit down and the first thing to do is the husband complains about something. You know, wasn't prepared the way I wanted it. Something was wrong. Being ungrateful for what she's done for you. Parents take the time to clean your living room. And the children then come behind you and they play and they trash it. They don't appreciate the time and effort that was spent to clean that room. Husbands, you know, take time to do yard work, mow the yard. And the wife comes home and she doesn't give him the gratitude or complains about something. You know, you took food to someone who needed it, who said they needed it, and then they show no signs of thankfulness for what you did for them. These are just some examples. We can all come up with our own, but, you know, not only do we show ingratitude towards other people, we also show ingratitude towards God. And that's probably the worst thing that we can do. In Romans 1 and verses 18, we can read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and charged and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Here Paul is talking about the Gentiles. At one time, they knew about God, and they could see from the creation of the world that there is God. And Paul says they were without excuse. However, they didn't care what they knew about God, so they did not glorify him, and they were not thankful. How did they show their ingratitude? They made idols and worshiped them, and even worshiped some animals. Many today can fall in the same category, because anyone who does not obey the commands of God and they do whatever their hearts desire is showing ingratitude towards God. Another example we can read in Luke 17, starting in verse 12. "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off." Let's talk about Jesus. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered him, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Even those men who had been healed of this horrible skin disease, only one was truly grateful. Now we may think that the nine, they were ungrateful. And we might even think that, you know, if that happened to me, I would not do that. I would be grateful. But the fact of the matter is, we all at some point are ungrateful. The reason I say this is that we all know that God blesses us every day and has provided us with everything that we enjoy.
That is good. But how many times do we thank God
for what He has done for us and what He has provided for us?
If we really think about it, there are many times,
and I think about this myself,
that I don't show the
gratitude towards God. Because I don't thank Him for the things that He has granted me and all the blessings He has provided. Consider this. As Christians, we know that the great sacrifice Jesus made for us, the shedding of His blood, is what makes it possible for us to be cleansed of our sins.
It shouldn't be hard for us to
understand that the cleansing of sin is a far greater accomplishment than cleansing 10 lepers. We also learn from Acts chapter 20 and verses 28 that Jesus' blood purchased the church that we and I make up and we belong to. With this in mind, how are we different than these nine who did not return to thank God when we choose to do other things besides assemble each time that the church comes together? We allowed worldly events such as a television program or a sporting event or a hobby to take first place in our hearts over assembling with the saints who can we honestly say that we are showing thankfulness for what God has done for us? If we can, then we could be lying to ourselves because we fail to return to worship God when we're capable of doing so, then we are no different than the nine. We're showing our ingratitude by not thanking God for the blessings that we have received. Of course, this is just one example of many. Anytime we don't obey God's commandments and we enter into sin, we are showing our ingratitude towards Him. All of us are guilty of this from time to time. But thankfully for us, God loves us enough that He allows us to repent and to be forgiven of our ingratitude. Besides not expressing thankfulness, another aspect of ingratitude is when a person returns someone's kindness with evil. For instance, I've heard of someone taking a stranger into their home, feeding them, and giving them a place to stay, only for that person to turn around and to steal from them, in some cases abuse the person that took them in. You know, that's awful. But we see evidence of that in the Bible as well. So if you look at the story of Gideon, the backdrop of Gideon's biography begins with the Israelites being ravaged by the Midianites as a consequence of their disobedience to God in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 1. For 7 years, they faced invasions from the Midianites, Amalekites, and eastern foreigners who ruined their crops and destroyed their cattle.
Although they had been unfaithful to God by worshiping the
gods of the Amorites, they cried out to God for His help without realizing why this was happening to them.
And so God sends them a prophet to remind them
of how the one true God had provided for them in the past,
and yet how they had
quickly had forsaken Him. But God does hear their cries and graciously intervenes by sending an angel to Gideon to call him into service. Gideon, whose name means cutter or cutter of trees, belonged to an undistinguished family of the Abizrites.
But from the angel's greeting, we can assume that
Gideon had already proved to be a mighty warrior. Though Gideon was a willing servant of God,
he needed assurance that it was in fact God calling him to His divine service. In accomplishing the mission set before him by God,
Gideon proves himself to be faithful, a mighty warrior, a strong leader of men. The highlights of Gideon's life included his victorious battle against the Israelites' enemies.
However, we mustn't overlook his amazing faith
by which he carried out God's mission and which was first put to the test and confirm when he destroyed the Baal idols his father and the community had worshipped. Gideon's battle
triumph
is preceded by God's
anointing.
It was no small feat that Gideon managed to enlist
the tribesmen, the Abizrites,
to go into the battle
with him. These were the men whose idols he had destroyed, and they had renamed him Jerubbaal. Before entering battle,
Gideon's troops numbered 32,000.
But in obedience to God,
he reduced them to 22,000. Again, in obedience to God, he decreased the remaining 10,000 by a further 9,700, leaving him with just 300 men. This was against an enemy that was described as being thick as locusts and had camels of numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. With the battle finally won, the people suggest that Gideon rule over them as their king. But Gideon declines and tells them that the Lord will rule over them. Gideon knew the power of his victory and had appreciation for God. But Gideon did pass. And immediately upon Gideon's passing, we can read in Judges 8 and 34, "Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal," Gideon, "in accordance with the good he had done for Israel." They were ungrateful. The children of Israel showed their ingratitude by repaying Gideon back with evil. In chapter 9, after Gideon dies, we find out that Abimelech, one of Gideon's sons through a concubine, convinces his mother that they don't need the leadership of Gideon's 70 other children through various wives ruling over them, and that they should be the next ruler because he was kin to these people of Shemek. His mother goes to work, and her brothers convince the people of Shemek to kill Gideon's 70 sons. Only one escaped, Jotham. After they had carried out the evil act against Gideon's household, they made Abimelech their king. But Jotham spoke out against them and pointed out to them how they had repaid Gideon's deeds with evil. Of course, as the story goes, we find out that God doesn't allow Abimelech to reign for very long, and he is killed. This shows how some can repay kindness with evil. One of the worst examples in the Bible is Judas and how he betrayed Jesus. Judas was one of the 12. He followed Jesus. But Judas turned on Jesus.
Notice in what the books of Proverbs say about this kind of ingratitude. Proverbs 17 and verse 13.
"Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house."
The old saying is
true. What comes around goes around.
Nothing good will ever
come from repaying kindness with evil.
So what have we learned so far?
We have learned that as Christians, we should stay far away from ingratitude and that we should always strive to be thankful. We need to understand that ingratitude can cause us
to miss heaven. Because notice that sin, what sin unthankfulness is associated with. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, we read,
"But know this,
that in the last days of perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power.
And from such people
turn away."
So ingratitude is a sin, as Paul tells us
in 1
Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you." Christians are supposed to be thankful people. We should even express our thanks when people know that we are thankful. The reason I say this is an example that Jesus left. In John 11, verse 41, we can read, Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me.
And I know that you always hear me.
But because of the people were standing by this,
I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. The Father knew Jesus was thankful, but Jesus expressed his thanks anyway. And this is what we should do as Christians, even if a person knows we are thankful for what we did for them. We should always be thankful to God when we pray to him. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, we can read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Some other examples we have in the Bible, Acts 5 and verse 40. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for their apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak of the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They showed their thankfulness under extreme pressure by rejoicing and continuing to obey in God's command and spreading the good news of the gospel. In Acts 16, verse 23, we read, and when they had laid many stripes on them, and they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Even though they had been beaten and humiliated in public, they showed their thankfulness to God by singing and praying. We need to follow these same examples ourselves and to show our gratitude no matter what our circumstances are. Should we expect gratitude of others? I think it's yes and no. If we show kindness to another Christian, after we've looked at so far, we should expect gratitude from them. However, when it comes to non-Christians, they too should express gratitude, but we shouldn't necessarily count on that. While we should expect gratitude from other Christians, this should not be the primary reason why we are showing kindness to another person. We need to realize the primary purpose of our good works towards others is to glorify God and show Christ working through us. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, we can read, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket,
but on a lampstand.
And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
So that even if you don't receive gratitude from others, you can still rejoice knowing that you are being a shining light for others.
And Jesus also teaches us that we should not repay a person's ingratitude with evil, but instead we should be merciful.
Notice this in the principle. It's laid out in Luke 6, verse 32.
But if you love those who love you,
What credit is that for you?
For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you,
what credit is that to you?
For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that for you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend,
hoping for nothing
in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful.
So don't allow someone else's ingratitude cause you to get angry and sin against that person.
Instead, treat them with kindness.
Romans 12 and verse 20, we can read, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have learned how ingratitude should not be part of a Christian's life, and how we should always be thankful for those who show us kindness, and especially be thankful to God. We've learned how we should treat those who show us ingratitude with kindness, so that we may show them our good example and demonstrate that ingratitude is wrong. The last thing I want to point out is that God doesn't owe us thanks when we do what He asks us, as illustrated by Jesus in Luke 17, verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come in at once and sit down to eat? But he will not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk. And afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all that those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. We should never think that we can do anything that God would ever need to thank us for, because everything we have and can do comes from Him. This is why we should always give God the glory and thank Him every day of our lives. And what are you grateful for? What am I grateful for? Just this morning I jotted down 8 or 9 things that we can all be grateful for. And it wasn't a hard list to put together. We can be grateful to God and all the things He provides us, all the blessings He provides us, day in and day out, even though we don't deserve them. We can be grateful for His Word. He's given us His Word. We can be grateful for His Son, who sacrificed Himself for our sins. Because without His sacrifice, we would have no hope of having an eternal home in heaven. With Jesus' sacrifice, we can be grateful for the church that He created by that sacrifice. In that same regard, we can be grateful for one another as members of His church. We can be an encouragement to one another and a blessing to one another. And we can show thankfulness to one another. We can be grateful for the church elders and deacons and their abilities to lead and help us in our daily journey. We can be grateful for a preacher like Doug. He stands before us week in and week out and prepares a lesson for us. And I can tell you that it's not always easy. It takes a lot of effort. And I appreciate, by going through this exercise, I appreciate him more and more every time that I have an opportunity to give a lesson, because he does it day in and day out, and not even while he's here. He preaches other places as well. We can be grateful for the ones who taught us the gospel. We didn't come into this world knowing God's word. Someone had to teach us. Someone had to sit down and show us an example, give us lessons, that we have an opportunity to learn God's word, and that we have the opportunity to follow God's word, and we have an opportunity to turn from our sins, become a Christian, and hopefully have an opportunity for an eternal home in heaven. Now, I hope some of these things that I've talked about is a benefit to you. As I say, it's a benefit to me, because it's easy to be ungrateful. It's easy to sometimes think that the good things that happen to me are all because of the things I've done. And that's really not the case. It's all the things that God has allowed us to do, given us the opportunity to do, and blessed us to do. So let's always be grateful for those things. And be grateful for God and the things He has provided. And be grateful for one another, because the journey in life is difficult. And to have faithful brethren around us, it makes it a whole lot easier when you stumble and you fall and you have someone to come behind you and pick you up and give you encouragement. And be in your corner and support you, because this world doesn't support Christians. We are a small group compared to the world. And so to have anyone in our corner to support us is a great, great blessing. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, why not? You have an opportunity to. You have an opportunity to become a Christian. You have an opportunity to join His church. You have an opportunity to be one of the saved. If you profess Him, be baptized, wash away your sins, call upon His power, and then dedicate the rest of your life to follow Jesus and be an example to other people in this world. If you are a Christian, and maybe some ingratitude has creeped into your life, or some other sin has creeped into your life, and you need the encouragement of the church, you have an opportunity as well to come forth. Let your sin be known, and we will pray for you that we may strengthen you and encourage you. If you have a need in either way, feel free to come as we stand and sing.